Welcome to Psychology Tidbits. Join Dr. Carlos as he explores the many areas of the human mind.
I don't know if you realize that the U.S. is only one of two countries in the entire world that allows direct-to-consumer advertising for pharmaceutical meds. Well, a new study checked to see if these drugs that are being promoted on TV are actually have high therapeutic value. Are they good? Well, according to the study, fewer than one-third of the most common drugs featured in direct-to-consumer television advertising were rated as having high therapeutic value. It's a profitable venture is only becoming more common. Biotech giants like Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk spend billions of dollars bringing their drugs to living rooms across the country. Given all the ads, you might think that Americans were getting a magnificent deal from the cutting edge of the biotech sector, but in reality, no. So no matter what the flashy music is or the production value, the drugs promoted aren't actually any more special than generics. Researchers from universities, including Dartmouth, Harvard, and Yale, formed a database of the most advertised drugs, coming up with 73. Medications are usually indicated for everything from quitting smoking to neurological diseases. They obtained a list of value rankings for the drugs from several independent health technology assessment agencies in Canada, France, and Germany. The job of the agencies is to rate the safety, benefits, and efficacy of a given drug compared to other therapies. And it turns out that the majority of the drugs that you see on the TV did not pass the muster. Fewer than one-third of them, again, of the most common drugs featured in these ads were rated as having high therapeutic value. Now, their results were published in the JAMA journal. One of the things they said is a possible explanation for all this is that super effective drugs don't need to be advertised. So pharmaceutical companies might be incentivized to promote drugs that are of lesser value, according to the authors. The amount, simply put, it comes down to marketing. The amount of spending on the type of ads, even for drugs that don't have spectacular benefits, was $15.9 billion in 6 years, so almost about $2.5 billion a year. The drugs with the lowest benefits included dulaglutide for type 2 diabetes, varenicline, that's varenicline for smoking cessation, and tofacitinib, tofacitinib for rheumatoid arthritis. These aren't public service announcements. The companies that finance these ads want to see a return on their investments. A good deal of research suggests there can be positive benefits to seeing ads like these, such as encouraging patients to take a more active role in their health. But a lot of times what you find out, and psychiatrists will tell you this as well as medical doctors, is patients start demanding certain medications because they see it on TV, maybe because of lost hope, maybe because that's just what they want to do. And a lot of times they don't understand that maybe this isn't the best one, that they surely ask the doctor instead of demanding. That's really the distinction I was wanting to be made. It's a lot of times doctors will come to me and tell me, oh my gosh, you know, these patients are just telling me to take this, they don't want to be on that. And sometimes it could even be the placebo effect. They can think, watching the ad, that this drug is more powerful than theirs. It could alert them also, the other positive side that they found in research, it could alert them to a side effect that they should be aware of, which if you notice, they turn the volume down and go really quick when they talk about those side effects. In addition, pharmaceutical ads may even ease stigma of certain conditions like mental illness or sexual dysfunction, but the results may not always be so rosy. There's a risk that patients can be prescribed inappropriate or unnecessary medications, driving up costs without added benefits. And this is another problem. Sometimes they'll request medications that they really don't need. It's not easy making an informed medical decision. It's not even practical on a 30-second commercial. Despite the intent to educate, drug prescription ads are inherently complicated by financial incentives. And this is usually the main topic of controversy. There are ethical concerns that such advertising strategies are predatory and cause harm to patients. This all began in 1997 when the U.S. Food and Drug Administration loosened restrictions to allow direct marketing to consumers these drugs. And it really took no time at all for the money for TV drug ads to start pouring in. In 1997, an article in LA Times reported that drug advertising already had been growing rapidly, and experts expected Friday's FDA announcement to fuel a boom. This is in 1997, where pharmaceutical companies spent over $590 million on ads. And now they're over billions. But not much traction has been made since then. The authors of the JAMA study seemingly aren't optimistic either. Policymakers and regulators could consider limiting direct-to-consumer advertising to drugs with high therapeutic or public health value, but policy changes would likely require industry cooperation or face constitutional challenge. In addition, you got lobbyists that are paying big bucks, the pharmaceutical companies as well, to keep it active. They obviously must get a good return on their investment on these ads. If not, they wouldn't do it. That's the bottom line. I don't know how it operates in New Zealand, of whether or not they're getting the same kind of benefits or not, if they are probably, if they have most of their ads for low therapeutic value type of medications. I don't know. Either way, I thought it was interesting because the world of pharmacy, or the pharmaceutical world, is a complicated world.